The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Burns and Gambo.
Live from the Oxygen Community Studios, 5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Cardinals lose yesterday in the season finale, 38-30 to the Seattle Seahawks. Having already clinched the playoff spot, yesterday we found out their fate. They're going to take on the L.A. Rams in a matchup of the 4 versus the 5 seed. And then last night, right after halftime of the Sunday Night Football game, it was announced the schedule. And the Cardinals will be on Monday Night Football 1 week from tonight. They'll be in Los Angeles taking on the Rams in a first-round playoff game as we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo show. Yep, what's up?
I saw a note that kind of said that it had to be that game. Like, it had to be the Rams and the Cardinals to play that game. It was interesting, and I'm not sure exactly why, but there was something about how, yes, somebody said, it was a guy Derek pointed out on Twitter, said Monday night's playoff game has to be the 4-5 matchup because any other game completely changes the following week's matchups depending on the winner. Since the lower seed plays at the higher seed. This way, the NFC will know of the number 6 49ers or the number 7 Eagles will have won their games, and if they're winner of Cardinals Rams will maybe go to Green Bay or Tampa.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Because you're playing a playoff game so late on Monday, you're going to want to know all of your other matchups and have them all set and ready to go for the weekend, right? So what you don't want... You don't want some team saying, am I hosting? Am I on the road? Are we traveling?
Hotel, airfare.
Exactly, all that. So everything is set, and so that the only variable left is, will, you know.
Who's going on the road?
Because
whoever wins that game is going on the road.
Yeah.
Unless you have an upset.
Yeah, most likely. And whoever wins that game is most likely going to play the Green Bay Packers, unless there's an upset somewhere, unless San Francisco beats Dallas, or unless Philadelphia beats Tampa Bay, right. And then that wouldn't happen. But yeah, no, that makes, given that you're playing a Monday night playoff game for the first time ever, you'd kind of like to know all of your other matchups in all of your other cities, so you take all the other variables out of the equation. All right, time for a real big picture conversation about the Cardinals, and maybe this is more appropriate that we have this when the season is over.
Okay.
But we don't know when the season is going to end because of the playoffs and next weekend. The question you asked in your email to me today: how do you put the season in proper perspective? How do you put the season in proper perspective? Can you put the season in proper perspective before we know how it truly ends?
It comes with that exclamation mark, right? Is that what it's called? The asterisk?
An asterisk. There you go. Not an exclamation point. That's okay. An asterisk. Yes,
I know. Comes with an asterisk. Yeah, it's always, as long as you know what I mean. It comes with an asterisk. The Arizona Cardinals had a good season. They won 11 football games. They're going to the playoffs. They continued to improve. They went from 3 wins to 5 wins to 8 wins to 11 wins. It was a solid season. I mean, they did some incredible things on the road. But it comes with the asterisk. Their inability to win games at home, their collapse late in the season, it could have been better than what it was. It could have and it should have been a better season than what it was. Was it a successful season? Yes. The Arizona Cardinals are going to be playing playoff weekend. First time since 2015. These don't come around often. So, yes, it was a successful season. Asterisk. Oh, my God. Where's my 399
like faster,
games, puzzles, and trivia challenges? Yeah,
are you okay? Do you need us to send help for you there at the house? Are you all right? You gonna make it?
Asterisk.
Asterisk.
Like risks.
Yeah, like risks. Yeah.
Asterisks.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
At this point, move on and just accept that you might not be able to say it.
Yeah, I've never pretended to be smart. So I think it comes with that. The asterisks. It should have been better. It could have been better. It should have been better. There's things that you're concerned about and worried about. I don't think every team that made it to the playoffs is everything's peaches and cream. Like, oh, wow, this is so. I think there are other teams that kind of feel the way the Cardinals do. the Cardinals aren't the only one. I mean, the Rams probably, you know, have some questions.
Definitely the
Buffalo,
Rams.
The Buffalo Bills, for sure.
Yep, definitely the Bills.
You know, Green Bay, no. Kansas City, no. How about New England? What was New England's chances of winning the division when they beat the Bills a few weeks ago?
Real good. Real, real good. They were
right,
completely
I mean, Bill
in the
Belichick
driver's seat.
Was, Bill Belichick was the coach of the year.
Yeah.
He was going to be the coach of the year. Cliff said it should be Bill. Bill said it should be Cliff. I mean, the Patriots feel like they blew it because now they've got to go on the road and play. So they had it was theirs. That division was theirs after they beat Buffalo. So I don't think the Cardinals are alone. I think other teams are looking at it this way at it the same way.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say the season was a failure. You can't say the season was a failure.
No, it's definitely it's not a failure. It's just in my mind. And I'm going to flip it here for a second. Let's say the Cardinals, instead of starting 7-0 and finishing 4-6, flipped it. Started 4-6.
I see where you're going.
But ended the season on a 7-0 run and made the playoffs. It'd be a huge success. It would be they're hitting right. Their stride. They're hot going into the playoffs. Everything's great. Everything is awesome. If those blocks had just been flipped to where, because I think, look, you and I have been doing this a long time. Expectations color everything, what we think about a season, about a team, about whatever. You start 7-0, you start 10-2, fair or not, right or wrong, that brings expectations. That brings with you the burden of, hey, you're 10-2, man. You're having a special season. You better do something with this. You're 7-0. You better make the playoffs, right? And so the minute that bar gets raised, it's not good enough anymore to just say, well, if you told me at the beginning of the season the Cardinals would win 11 games and go to the playoffs, man, that'd be great. So it's been a great season. No, because if you had told me the Cardinals are going to win 10 of their first 12 games but lose on the road in the first round of the playoffs, I will tell you that was a terrible season. I would tell you they had a terrible year that they went 10-2 and couldn't even get out of the first round of the playoffs. It's all based on expectations and how those expectations. It's a moving target, Gambo. It's always a moving target. And fair or not, right or wrong, you start a season 10-2, and I'm going to change the expectations on you. I'm going to give you a different bar for you to clear for me to say it's been a successful season. And I just feel like that's life, you know? I mean, your kid comes home and for 4 months is bringing home straight A's and then flunks the final. You know, what are you left with? You know, are you left with, well, you know, yeah, for 4 months you brought home straight A's. No, you're thinking, man, how is it that you were bringing home straight A's for 4 months and then you flunked the final on the last day of class? That's all because you changed your expectations for the student as the year went along based off of the grades they were getting. That's life.
To kind of signify where the Cardinals aren't alone, New England lost 3 of their last 4 football games. They had the division won. They lost 3 out of the last 4 games. How about Baltimore? They were 5-1 at one point, and they were 8-3 at one point. They lost their final 6 games. They were 8-3. The playoffs, like, what was their win probability to get to the playoffs? It was like 95%. They were 8-3. They lost 6 straight. The Colts were 9-6. Win one game, you're in. They lost their last 2 games. So there are other teams, some playoff teams, you know, some not, that, we'll look at this season and, you know, you look at it with a mixed bag. The Cardinals, unfortunately, will look at it with a mixed bag. Yeah, they won 11 games. That's tremendous. It doesn't happen very often. And they go into the playoffs, and that's great. But you can't get those losses at home and that Cliff Kingsbury slide out of your mind. I mean, it's part of the story. It's part of the 2021 Arizona Cardinals.
That Cliff Kingsbury slide is going to be something that we're going to be talking about all throughout 2022.
I've said that. I totally agree.
All throughout, that is not going away.
The second they lose a game, we're going to question it. Is this the slide? Is this the slide? And we'll look back. Well, when did the slide happen last year? Which game was it? You know, you are no matter what the record is now, unless they're, you know, they get off to a terrible start. But if they get off to a good start and they've got a winning record and they lose a game late in November, we're going to be like, okay, is this where they're going to lose three in a row or four in a row? Of course.
Text us your thoughts. The FanDuel text line, it is open for you. You can text us at 620-620 right now. We get a chance, we'll read the best ones on the air. When we come back, it could be argued, should be argued, that we'd all at this point rather see the Cardinals on the road given their success. Are we happy that they're not going to be at home? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
There it is, Cardinals theme song.
Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Not a bad song.
On the road again.
I should play this on the airplane the whole way there. Just on a loop.
Boy, that would be annoying after a while. That would get really damn annoying after a while.
That would get him fired up.
He's still alive. I'd bring him on the plane and have him play it.
Yeah,
how much would it cost for Willie Nelson to be hired and go on the plane?
Willie Nelson's not only alive. Is it Willie Nelson's kid who did all of the music for A Star Is Born? You remember that reboot they had a couple years ago with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper? I think that was Willie Nelson's kid who did
really?
It. Really? I think so. I'd
hire the guy. Willie, how much? He's 88 years old. How much to go on the plane and sing this song? How much you need? 150 grand? 200 grand? What would it cost to get Willie Nelson? Or just serenade the Cardinals as they're getting on the plane.
There you go.
Serenade him.
A loop would get very annoying after
just
a while.
Just right there. Just keep playing it until everybody's on the plane.
We've heard this song for 45 seconds, and I'm already sick to death of it. I mean, it would be annoying.
Because you don't appreciate country music.
That's fair.
You don't like country music.
That's actually not true. There's a few country artists that I like.
Okay.
That's not totally true. But this song on a loop would get really dreadful after a while. Cardinals are going on the road again, and they're 8-1 away from home.
Stop playing that song. Mitch is going to be on the road again, looking for a job.
I stopped it. Come on.
Yeah. They're going to be on the road again, on the road to the unemployment line.
The Cards are, at this point, it's a relief, to be honest with you. It's a relief that they don't have to play a game in that building again. There's actually a crazy scenario in which they could be back at home again, but it would...
Well, there is one. Yeah, so Jess Root from Cards Wire does a great job. Had a crazy scenario in which the Cardinals could... If the Eagles win and the 49ers win, I think that's what it is, right?
Yes.
Then the Cardinals would get a home game.
The Cardinals would get a home game. It's like... I don't want it at this point. You know?
Can they decline it?
Just go.
Yeah.
You know what? Upon further review, even though we're scheduled to be the home team, we'd actually rather play at your building.
It's kind of like the coin flip. You want to defer? You want the ball? You want to defend? Well, coin flip. Do you want a home game? No. No, thank you.
No, thanks. I'll pass. Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy scenario, and it's not going to come out. It's not going to happen. Because the NFL, remember, the NFL reseeds every round. So Green Bay will always get the lowest seeded team no matter what. So if that's Philly and if San Francisco wins, then the Cardinals could potentially be at home. But like I say, at this point, go on the road. It's your secret sauce. It's your magic elixir. It's your superpowers are out there on the road. You haven't won a game in your building since October 24th, and I'm tired of watching you try. I've gotten sick of watching you try to win a game in your own building. Go somewhere else, because that's the only place you've had success all year long. Go do it somewhere else, please. Because I feel like at this point, if there really is any chance for the Cardinals to find themselves, they're going to have to go on the road to do it, and I'm very at peace with that, Gambo. Very at peace.
Well, because two things. I mean, it's not unprecedented. The Tampa Bay Bucks went on the road last year for all of their games and won the damn Super Bowl, except for the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that three games were all on the road. They started on the road against Washington. For goodness sakes, Washington won the division. Tampa Bay was better record, but they had to go play Washington because Tampa didn't win their division. That's one. Two is that, you look at the success. They've been, for some reason, and there is no explanation. We'd all make a lot of money if we knew, but the Cardinals play really well at home. They don't play well on the road. I mean, everybody knows that, but there was always the belief that I still want the home game. I still want the home game. I still want the home game. You know what? Screw the freaking home game. Just honestly, just take it. Screw it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about playing there, but they don't play well there.
Well, I don't,
they'll figure it out. Hopefully they figure it out next year, because you don't want this to be a trend. But yeah, if you asked me yesterday, what do I want? I want them to get a home game.
Yes.
But now if you put a little thought into it, you could absolutely convince yourself that they're better off on the road.
Because ultimately what I wanted was for them to win that game yesterday against the last place team in your division, so you could feel like you had fixed what was broken at home.
That's a good point.
You know, so you could say to yourself, okay, yeah, we didn't win a home game from October 24th until the last weekend of the season, but we fixed it. We got it right. We won a game at home, and we can walk off our own field feeling good about ourselves. And the confidence that might have come from that, then you say, okay, now you can host a playoff game. Now it feels right for you to be here in this building. If you can't even beat the last place team on your own home field, then to your point, go on the road. I don't want it. You didn't frankly earn the right, and that's stating the obvious, but you didn't earn the right to be here at home, and you've been so bad at it. I just want to go see you somewhere else and try. So I feel bad, honestly, for the season ticket holders, for those who have gone to that building religiously, wearing their Cardinals jerseys, putting up with fans from other teams. I feel bad for the fans who have gone there every single Sunday and haven't been able to enjoy the home team winning a football game since the week before Halloween. I feel bad for those people, because that's just not how it's supposed to work.
That seems like 100 years ago.
It does! That Houston.
No, like, it really seems like a long time ago.
That Houston Texans game feels like a year ago when they won that game 31-5. And think about all the primetime games at home that they've had and blown. You know, whether it was the Packers, whether it was the Rams, whether it was the Colts, you lose to the Seahawks, you lose to Carolina. I know Colt McCoy was your quarterback, but come on, you lost to Carolina at home. They're god awful. It's been just. I feel bad for the season. I feel bad for the people who plunked down their good money and went there to that stadium wanting to see the home team get a win and not be able to do it.
But the worst loss of the season is still the road game at Detroit.
Yeah.
As much as they only lost one road game and they lost a whole bunch of home games, but the worst loss is still the loss to Detroit.
Agreed. Yeah.
Because if they win that game, if they win that game against the Lions, they're NFC West champs. They got the banner.
That makes me so mad to even think about it that way.
I mean, that was the game.
But you're right.
Ultimately, that's the worst. What's their worst loss? Their worst loss is the Lions game. It was a road game.
Because you win that game, that would have been the ultimate what if, right? So you win the game against the Lions. You go 9-0 on the road, and you're stuck with a home game where you hadn't won a game since October. In a way, it's weird. In a way, isn't it almost better that they didn't win that Lions game so they wouldn't have to be at home for a playoff game where they haven't won since October 24th? Couldn't you make the argument that it ended up working out better for them that they lost to the Lions so that they didn't have to be at home in a building where they've been so bright?
Now you gotta be careful what you wish for, right? I mean, you wanted a home field game, but they don't play well at home. For whatever reason, I don't know. But again, be careful what you wish for. In a roundabout way, you could look at that Lions loss the way you're looking at it now and say, okay, that's a good thing, because if they would have won that game, they'd be playing at home where they just don't seem to play well.
Yeah, it's just backwards thinking. I'm not used to think, because the thinking is you always want to be home. Always, you fight all year long to want to be at home. Personally, I'm looking forward to seeing what this team can do when they're not at home, because it's just been so much more of the same every single week. In LA's not an intimidating building to go to. Eric was telling me earlier that Debo Samuel alleged that the Rams were pumping
music and crowd noise
because there weren't that many people at that game. Go to LA. The Bird Gang Travel Club, they're going to show up big time. There's going to be a bunch of Cardinal fans there. It's a six-hour drive away. It's not an intimidating place at all. Go to LA. I'm not scared about that at all. Not one bit for the Cards.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I wouldn't want the Cardinal fans there. I don't want the feeling of a home game. I mean, I really don't want the feeling of a home game. I want the feeling of a road game.
Do you have any best guess as to why the Cardinals were so bad at home this year? Does anything come to mind at all when I say Cardinals were 3-5 at home this year? Why? Do you have anything for me?
No.
Me either.
I mean, no. I mean,
I've thought about it for.
You want me to make something up?
No. I was just curious to see, even if you had some like wild theory about why. I was just curious to hear because I got nothing.
Like
I have
said,
no
three,
idea.
Three of these losses, the three of their losses in their last five against teams. Seattle, not a playoff team. Colts, not a playoff team. Detroit, not a playoff team. Carolina, not a playoff team. Like, the only teams that they lost to at home that are a playoff team, they lost to Green Bay at home, and that's a playoff team, and they lost at home to
the Rams. Yeah.
But a lot of these other teams are not even play. No, I mean, if I had the reason why, whoever knows the reason why can make a lot of money.
And we could sit here and play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. They should have lost to Minnesota at home if it weren't for a missed field goal. They would have lost to Minnesota at home in week two if not for a missed field goal. Oh, well, they're on the road, and that's probably how we should all want it to be when it's all said and done.
No choice, so we'll take it.
Yep. When we come back, the Cardinals need to win the war of attrition first and foremost. How many of their key guys are going to be back in time for the playoff game 1 week from right now? Gambo's got the list, and you might be surprised by one name in particular. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Burns and Gambo.
He's still being evaluated today, and so we'll see how that kind of shakes out over the next couple of days. But hopefully it's not too serious, but we won't know for a couple of days.
That is the voice of Cliff Kingsbury, and the person he is talking about is James Conner, who left yesterday's game converting a 3rd-and-18. He ran for 19 yards, but at the end of the run, he was popped real good in the ribs, went right into the blue tent, and at the exact same time that he was going in the blue tent, Jonathan Ward was also walking off the field. In that moment, Gambo, the Cardinals only had one healthy running back on the roster.
Yeah.
And to Eno Benjamin's credit, man, I thought he ran his ass off yesterday.
He did.
He played real hard at the end of that game. But like it is for any team in the NFL going into the playoffs, this time a week from now when the Cards take on the Rams, one of the biggest questions will be health and availability,
yeah.
And for the Cardinals, there are a whole bunch of guys for us to talk about.
Will D. Hop play? Will J.J. Watt play? Chase Edmonds, James Conner, Robert Alford, Marco Wilson, Jordan Phillips, Rondell Moore, Kelvin Beachum, Rashad Breeland. I mean, there's a lot of guys that we're questioning about. Look, a lot of those guys are going to play. Okay, a lot of those guys are going to play. Like, I would be shocked if Chase Edmonds does not play this week. I think Chase Edmonds will play. He will be on that field, so they'll get Chase back for this game for sure. I think there's a chance that DeAndre Hopkins will play.
Fascinating.
I think there's a chance.
Fascinating.
I'm not reporting this, and I think that there is a people like I'm getting. Did Gambo say he's likely to play? No,
nope.
I did not say he's likely to play. I said there is a chance that DeAndre Hopkins is going to play. Now we'll see how this plays out, but I think that you know, every week we do this. I mean, last Monday I said I don't expect that Alford's going to play or Marco Wilson's going to play, but I believe James Conner's going to play and Chase Edmonds is not. So every week we kind of do this and I try to find out what I can find out. And you know, we're usually pretty accurate with this stuff. I don't have a call on D Hop right now. The majority of those guys that I just mentioned are going to play. The majority of those guys. Doesn't mean all of them are going to play, but the majority. It's not like all those guys are going to be out. The guys, again, D-Hop, J.J., Chase, James Conner, Robert Alford, Marco Wilson, Jordan Phillips, Rondale Moore, Kelvin Beachum, Rashad Breeland. Most of those guys will play in this game. I feel confident to say Chase Edmonds will play. I think there's a chance DeAndre Hopkins will play. I can't sit here right now and say, yeah, there's no way DeAndre Hopkins is going to play. There is a chance that he will be able to
play.
Yeah,
you just know how this goes. Some names, your eyes are just kind of drawn to those names more than others. And certainly DeAndre Hopkins, given how the offense has struggled without him, has so clearly struggled without him, especially in the red zone, our eyes are just going to go to DeAndre Hopkins and wonder about his availability. J.J. Watt, the same thing. Now, we talked a lot about J.J. at the end of last week with him being activated to return, cleared to return, and then we'll find out this week how much he practices, the lift that he could give his team, even if he plays 25% of the snaps. Just knowing that he's there is huge. But I tell you, trying to discern which of these names are more important, hell, they're all important. James Conner, Chase Edmonds, they're vital to the operation. Getting better at cornerback, vital to the operation. I can't. The sixth-string cornerback isn't going to cut it against the LA Rams on Monday night.
No.
You need to start getting the even Kevin Peterson, who had to leave that game with a concussion,
would have been better than Borders.
Would have been better than Breon Borders.
Yeah.
You need to get the Marco Wilsons back. You need to get Kevin Peterson back. You need to get you've got there are so many guys they need to get back. I hope you're right, and I hope a lot of these guys do play because they are getting really thin at some key spots.
Yeah, there's no question. And cornerback is the one. Now, Breland is going to be available to play. Like, and he's a veteran cornerback that will give you a much better option than the kid that they picked off the Tennessee practice squad, the Borders kid, right? I think in many ways even better than Kevin Peterson. But I think Marco Wilson is going to be able to play. I don't know about Robert Alford. That's the one. If they can get all of those guys back, I think that they've got a good chance. That cornerback spot, we've talked about it all year long. The cornerback spot is the one thing that we've been worried about all year, and I think we worry about as we head into the game.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's funny that you mention it. I was thinking about that when I was driving into work today, thinking about how the Cards have. I thought the cornerback thing was going to be their undoing all year long. Remember at the beginning of the season, I initially had them winning 11 games. When Malcolm Butler retired, I dropped it down to 8. I'm just like, they don't have enough guys in the room.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. All year long, Vance Joseph made it work. All year long, Vance Joseph figured it out until recently. The last month or so, they've just been too exposed. They've been giving up too many yards, too much stuff in the air. Quarterbacks are having too good of days against them.
Yeah. Next man up hasn't worked.
Next man up, well, it's just when next man up is the sixth best guy on the roster, you know, you start running out of guys. And so I hope that Vance Joseph, who has been able to work wonders with a cornerback room that I thought was going to be their undoing, my hope is that he can keep it from being their undoing for one more week. And getting guys back, getting Marco Wilson back, will go a long way. Getting Bashaud Breland up to speed, that'll go a long way for some stability on the backside of that defense, because it's been a mess the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I mean to think that you're at that point right now where you're like hoping that Bashaud Breland can come to the rescue.
Right? I know, right?
Right.
It's like
you just signed the guy.
Yeah.
He was out with COVID. Remember, he was out with COVID. So, like, you were like Bashaud Breland, like, you might be that might be your saving grace is, oh, they'll have Bashaud Breland. The Vikings cut him.
How far we've come. Yeah, the Vikings, right?
The Vikings cut him. And then the Cardinals signed him like 6 days ago. And it's like, but you watch that guy Borders play and he struggled and he wasn't any good. It's like, I'll take my chance with the guy that's been in a league for 7 years with the experience. Take my chance.
We'll keep an eye on DeAndre Hopkins, of course, especially now with the info that you just put out there. But go ahead.
I don't know anything. And obviously, as the week goes by, you get more information and you get a better outlook. Like I said, I feel really, really good that Chase Edmonds is going to play. Really, really good. And I feel really good that a lot of those guys are going to play. Not all of them, but I think the majority of the guys that I just mentioned, out of that list, I think more guys will play than not play.
I'm really hopeful James Conner is able to come back. I really hope that wasn't a one-game thing for him, that he came back because he was giving it his all out there. He was touching the – I'll be honest with you, I thought Conner was going to be on a pitch count yesterday. He wasn't. He was getting plenty of touches throughout the course of that game. And it's a shame that using him like that didn't lead to a win when it could have, and now it might have cost you for the next game when you really could use him out there. But we'll see. I played you the cut from Cliff on him. I tell you, the other guy, and I mentioned this, the big shiny names are DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt. I'll tell you, Rondale Moore would be a nice lift to this offense if they could get him back out there.
You said that earlier. That's interesting. I mean, you said that earlier, and it is interesting. He's a dynamic player with big playability. And sometimes, I mean, that's all it takes is one guy with a 62-yard play the way Penny had against the Cardinals yesterday. He's got that crazy ability with his speed, with his elusiveness. He breaks tackles. He's one of those scary guys that you got to be aware of him. They use him in a lot of different ways. That's an interesting name. I like that name.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say he's the third most important person to get back, the fourth, the fifth most important. We've talked about Hopkins and Watt and the cornerbacks and the running backs, and they're the more important ones to get back. I don't know. I just think that this offense, when it was clicking at its best. Yeah, a lot of that had to do with DeAndre Hopkins, but some of it had to do with Rondale Moore, too, and how they had really found ways to make him work in the context of their offense, and I think they've been missing that a little bit these last few weeks. So we'll see, and we'll start to get a better read, too, on the Rams and their injury situation. I'm not, that's probably tonight's homework or maybe even tomorrow morning's homework to see where the Rams stand
but
with
the extra
some of their
day,
injuries.
Each team gets the extra day. I think the Cardinals could use it more. I mean, it's better than playing Saturday, right?
Yes.
I mean, now you could make the argument that it's an extra 2 days because some teams are going to play Saturday. If you had that Saturday game, ooh. Now you're giving guys, two extra days from those teams. So just for this week, man, who knows what 24 hours can mean. But, I mean, if 24 hours helps a guy get a little bit extra treatment and get a little bit healthier, you'll take it.
Text us your thoughts. The FanDuel text line, it is open for you round the clock. You can text us at 620-620 here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The FanDuel text line is there for you. So we know about the NFC and what the Cardinals' path is in the postseason. What about the AFC? And what about that wild night in Vegas last night? We'll talk about it coming up. Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
All right, time for the games we're going to watch this evening, and it's brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
The underdog Alabama Crimson Tide. Underdogs. Just the fourth time since 2009 they are underdogs in the game. The other three times they won each game by 17 or more points. Let me say that again. They've been underdog. This is the fourth time that they will be underdog since 2009. The other three times, they won each of those games by 17 points. In the last 12 years, they've won 8 SEC championships, 6 national championships, and they've been in the college football playoff 7 times. This is the Bama dominance. Does it continue tonight or no?
I got Bama by 2 touchdowns. Who says no?
You know, I was looking at the Athletic predictions.
I'm looking at them right now, too. Shocking number of them are picking Georgia to beat
Ari
Alabama
Wasserman,
tonight.
Georgia. Bruce Feldman, Georgia. Stuart Mandel, Georgia. Max Olson, Georgia. Like, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 guys taking Georgia.
Even, I was about to say, our own Doug Howler. He's here in the Valley. He doesn't work for us, but he writes for The Athletic. Even he's got Georgia 31-28.
Because you know what? Because we just want it. We just
oh, so bad.
Listen, dynasties are fantastic. Dynasties are great to a point. But then after a while, you're like, okay, like, look, one of my favorite teams growing up was one of the best dynasties ever, the New York Islanders. They won 4 straight Stanley Cups. Okay. But after a while, people get tired. Like, all right, enough of this. Like, okay, like something new. I am rooting for Georgia so bad tonight.
The expiration date on this dynasty, it expired years ago. I understand what you're saying about dynasties, and
they're
something to be treasured because they're so hard to do. This one has been so boring for so long because it's basically dragged an entire sport down with it. I mean, to the point where it's just like, come on, somebody else, anybody else at this point other than Alabama. So we'll see. And we're actually going to join the game in progress right after our show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Let's go.
News from Peter Schrager. And this might be something we'll have to talk a little bit more about tomorrow if there's more to talk about. According to Peter Schrager, the New York Giants have requested permission to speak with former Cardinal safety and current Arizona Vice President of Pro Personnel Adrian Wilson for their vacant GM position, according to sources.
Oh, I'm going to check on that right now.
Adrian Wilson. Permission has been requested to speak with him. Remember, Dave Gettleman, the general manager of the Giants, retired today, stepped down. Joe Judge wasn't, he's apparently going to remain on as coach, though I would imagine a new GM might have some say over that. But for now, Joe Judge is still the coach there, and Dave Gettleman stepped down, and the Giants are starting starting to do their due diligence to find a new GM, and they have requested permission to speak with Adrian Wilson from the Cardinals.
Interesting. Okay.
Very interesting. Something to keep an eye on, for sure.
Maybe he'll fire Joe Judge.
You know what? I mean, new GM comes in. That's kind of the deal, right? Like,
who was the team that when Adrian Wilson was it the Patriots?
Yes,
he never played for them, though, right?
Yeah, but he went to the Patriots.
He never played for them. But never played for them.
Yeah.
Just like Darnell Dockett went to the 49ers and never played for them.
That would be accurate.
They had a bunch of guys that left in it, but never actually played.
Played for anybody else. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on if anything happens there. Of course, all of the NFL. Still buzzing over what happened last night between Vegas and the Chargers. It was one of the most thought-provoking, entertaining, discussed, talked about games in recent memory of the NFL. Just given everything that was on the line, given that the playoff hopes of the Raiders, Chargers, and Steelers were all in the balance, the potential tie, how that loomed over everything, whether both teams were playing for the potential tie, and then the way that game ended, it felt like it was going towards a tie, and it felt like both coaches were comfortable with it going towards a tie until Brandon Staley called that timeout with 38 seconds left. And then the 10-yard run, the 47-yard field goal by Carlson, Raiders in, Steelers in, Chargers out. And that was, they'll talk about that game for years, Gambo, years.
Yeah, somebody put up like a meme, not a meme, but like a video of like one Raider player talking to a Charger player like, hey, were you guys going to kneel down? Or like, were you guys going to run? I think they were going to run a play, and I think they were going to try to kick a field goal with 3 seconds left, but make sure that there was no chance that they could lose the game. I think they were going to try to win the game. I think they would have attempted a field goal because, like you mentioned earlier, and this is wise, a tie would have put them on the road against Kansas City.
Right.
Instead of, so you want to win the game. I think that they were going to run a play. I don't think they were going to kneel down and settle for the tie. I think that they were going to make sure that there was no chance that they could lose the game. So they would have ran a play, got it down to 3 seconds, kicked the field goal, tried to kick a field goal. If you win, you win. If you tie, you tie. But there was no way they were going to give the Chargers any chance at a play down the field and a pass interference and a field goal for them. So I do believe that they were going to run a play and then kick a field goal.
Rich Bisaccia, the head coach of the Vegas Raiders, was asked after the game, if you had not gotten that third down run where Josh Jacobs popped off for 10 yards, if you had not gotten that run on third down, would you have punted? Would you have taken a knee? Would you have kicked a field goal? Bisaccia, quote, don't know, didn't happen. The veteran coach then smiled and walked to the locker room. He didn't want to reveal what he would have done. It's just that, like, with under two minutes to go, and I was kind of following along on social media, everybody was like, oh my God, this is going to happen. Like, the Raiders are going to be content.
The Steelers are going to be out.
Yeah, the Raiders are going to be content with this tie. The Chargers are going to be content with the tie. It's going to happen. They're going to tie, and the Steelers are going to. That's the only scenario in which the Steelers wouldn't have gotten a playoff spot. And then that timeout happened, and we don't know if Staley hadn't called the timeout. The third and three, the way it was set up, Derek Carr was in the shotgun. It certainly didn't look like he was going to take a knee. It certainly looked like they were going to run a play. How many yards that play gained? Don't know. What would they have done after that play? Don't know. I mean, I don't know what they would have done then, but it didn't look like they were shaping up to kill clock and take a knee and just let the clock run out. But then Staley called a timeout to get the personnel he wanted on the field, and it was almost like a reset button for the game. Like, oh, okay, right. You know what? You're going to call a timeout. Well, let's go get 10 yards here and kick the field goal.
I think they messed up, and I told you there was a breakdown by Emmanuel Acho. And it was on Twitter, and it was fantastic. And he said, listen, Break it down. Here's the guys they had on the field when they were lining up before they took the timeout. And you had two inside linebackers. Then they take a timeout and they come back with a safety. They take a linebacker, a run-stuffing linebacker off, and they put a safety on the field. Like, so like he Staley said that they were trying to get the right personnel on the field to stop the run, but that's not, it's not really what they did. And it was the best breakdown I saw somebody saying, okay, because like if Staley says that, okay, I get it. You know, you want to stop the run and you want to hold them to a long field goal. I get that. But that's not the personnel that they had on because they took out a linebacker.
Yeah.
And they brought on a safety who made a big mistake on the play.
I know everybody was freaking out about the timeout, and I understand. I really, because playing along, I was kind of thinking the same thing, like, why the hell are they calling a timeout here? But again, going back and looking at it and looking at the way the Raiders were set up, they just didn't look like they were ready to take a knee at that point.
No, they were not going to take a knee.
They were going to run some kind of a play at that point, probably run the clock down like they did to 2 seconds or so, and at that point, either kick a field goal, punt it, take a knee, whatever. I mean, because you're right, the difference, and I did mention it earlier, but the difference, a tie, they're on the road against Kansas City.
Right.
A win, they're on the road against Cincinnati. I mean,
and you want to knock out your division.
Yeah, you
like,
do.
You don't like your division opponent. You want to knock your division opponent out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what Derek Carr said after the game.
We knew no matter what, we didn't want to tie. We wanted to win the football game. Obviously, if you tie, you're in, and I think all those things. But my mindset all day, I even was texting with Aaron Rodgers this morning. Yeah, my mindset was to make sure that we were the only team moving on after this.
I mean, you couldn't have scripted, unless you're a Chargers fan, you couldn't have scripted a better ending to the season for the NFL. Between the Colts losing to the Jags, between the Steelers winning in overtime against the Ravens on a 4th-and-8 from the soon-to-be-retired Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm happy the Steelers are in.
I am too.
I'm happy we get one more shot at Ben Roethlisberger in the play, that he gets to go out that way. He's been a good quarterback in this league.
And you know what? I wasn't even actively rooting against the Raiders. I love watching Justin Herbert throw a football. I mean, I really do. He's so good at it. He's
great.
So crazy good. And oh, wow. Lee Corso just put on the Georgia Bulldog for his prediction.
Oh, did he?
The hat. Yeah. The mascot head. Yeah. Oh, he's wearing the Georgia. Wow. Lee Corso thinks
Georgia's I just hope Georgia wins.
Oh, I hope so, too.
I mean, I mean, listen. They got to have a meeting and say if Alabama wins this thing, they've got to have a come to Jesus meeting and figure out what the hell everybody's going to do. Like honestly, like what? Like there's got to be something. Like you know, maybe you just have. I don't know what you can do, but like this is getting crazy.
It's worse than crazy. It's getting boring. It's so boring.
Yeah, boring. That's a better word than crazy.
Yeah, I mean it is crazy. But
my interest level
boring.
In this is about a 4.
In tonight's game?
Yeah, I just don't have the same interest that... I mean, it's 2 SEC teams. It's Georgia. Just the feeling that... You know why? Because I have the feeling that Alabama's going to win again.
I'm going to watch it because it's on, not because I'm tremendously interested in it. And I'll probably get some other stuff done around the house while it's on. You know,
Jaws is on right now. You can watch Jaws.
Love Jaws.
Hometown on HGTV.
Right,
Jaws 2 comes on at 6:30 if you want to watch that on Amazon.
Perfect. It's going to do it for us. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.